Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 68 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Arlo Barnett.
That's where we're focusing our efforts on making sure that we build not only this middle mile infrastructure, but that we work with local communities on making sure the last mile connectivity is there as well.
Lonnie Lawson is president of the Center for Rural Development. He says broadband infrastructure will offset the loss of jobs in Kentucky's beleaguered coal industry. Eastern Kentucky is in a state of emergency due to dozens of active wildfires, and absentee ballots are reaching an all-time high in Rowan County with Election Day just 5 days away. In sports, the Moorhead women's basketball team hosts Transylvania tonight in its first exhibition game. Bud Luke will bring us the stock news, and there's a 30% chance of rain tonight with lows in the lower 40s. The complete forecast coming up after this news. State Representative Fitz Steele is praising the state's response to numerous wildfires that are burning in eastern Kentucky. The Perry County Democrat says several of them are in the region he represents.
I was in Harlan County, Arizona, Pine Mountain, and it's terrible. People are being, you know, evacuated from their homes, and they're scared. And I spoke with the commissioner last night, and he told me he was headed to the hills. And I've relayed that, and that makes the people feel good.
Steele was referring to the commissioner of the Kentucky Department for Environmental Protection, Alan Luttrell. In addition to a 1,500-acre fire in Harlan County, there's a blaze spread over nearly 100 acres in Whitley County. State officials say there are also fires burning in Greenup, Lewis, McGoffin, and Carter counties. Governor Matt Bevin has declared a state of emergency in eastern Kentucky due to at least 38 active fires in the region. The National Guard has been called out to assist in the effort. Major Stephen Martin is with the Kentucky Guard.
The Kentucky National Guard has mobilized two UH-60 Blackhawks and one LUH Lakota in support of these wildfires. These aircraft are going to be deploying to both Harlan County and Hazard, around the vicinity of Pine Mountain to help do water airdrops.
Martin says the helicopters will be dropping water from buckets that hold 600 gallons. There have been no reports of deaths from the fires so far. Rowan Clerk Kim Davis remains confident that voter turnout in the county for next Tuesday's elections will be over 60%. Davis says her office has already received more than 500 absentee ballots, which may be its all-time high. She believes the often contentious presidential race between Republican Donald Trump and Democrat Hillary Clinton has caused more people to be interested in casting ballots this year.
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. I think that's going to draw the people in and in turn help some of the state races that we have. Maybe some of the local races, just the turnout alone will help and move all that.
Rowan County has almost 15,000 registered voters. Nearly 9,300 of them are Democrats, while about 4,500 are listed as Republicans. The others have identified themselves as independents or associate themselves with other parties. U.S. Senator Rand Paul says his Democratic opponent in next Tuesday's election is misleading people about his stance on the proposed Minors Protection Act. Lexington Mayor Jim Gray has accused Paul of being unwilling to help fund the bill, which would preserve the health and retirement benefits of thousands of Kentucky coal miners. According to Paul, he supports the plan, but believes Senate Democrats need to also agree to eliminate some job-killing regulations enacted by the Obama administration aimed at crippling the U.S. coal industry.
The reason why the pensions are all short of money is that all of these businesses have been bankrupt or downsized. Now, there still are some, particularly over in West Virginia, some companies that are union coal mines, and there's a few in Kentucky. But what we need to do is get rid of the regulations so they can hire more people and pay more money into the pension. That's the ultimate fix.
Paul says because Gray backs Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton, he's no friend of Kentucky's coal industry. He points out that Clinton said earlier this year she wants to put a lot of coal miners and coal companies out of business. The economic hole left by Kentucky's beleaguered coal industry will soon be filled in part by broadband infrastructure. That's the hope of Lonnie Lawson, president and CEO of the Center for Rural Development. Lawson says the statewide middle mile effort will enable cities in the eastern part of the state to create new jobs by providing an infrastructure of connectivity.
Right now we're still in the, I would call it the engineering phase of building this infrastructure. 90% of this network will be on poles. It will not be underground. Now in some of the towns and so forth, we'll have some underground, but the majority of it will be above ground. We're wanting to make sure that we don't come in and overbuild. We want to work with existing providers to make certain that we're not duplicating what they're doing, but that we're supplementing what they're doing.
Lawson says his organization has secured federal funding for the broadband project from the Appalachian Regional Commission, supplementing about $30 million from the state. But he says the lion's share of middle-mile funding comes from a public-private partnership with an Australian company called Macquarie Capital, which attracts private investment by selling bonds. Lawson spoke about his plan to offset Kentucky's loss of coal jobs today before the Morehead Chamber of Commerce. A state official says Kentucky is in pretty good shape when it comes to clean drinking water. That's what the director for the Kentucky Division of Water told state lawmakers in Frankfort this afternoon. Peter Goodman says the division tests thousands of water samples from all over the Commonwealth each year for health violations.
We sample about 82,000 samples a year for health-based in public water supplies. And we've had in 2014, I think we had 115 notices of violation issued for violation of health-based standards. And in 2015, it was 215.
Goodman says that's a compliance rate of 99.7%. He says Kentucky has 445 public water systems, and they supply water to 95% of the state's population. People living in one Letcher County community are going without water. The main water pump went out Sunday in Fleming Neon, with the two backup pumps following on Tuesday. Fleming Neon Water Supervisor Chris Banks told WYMT this isn't the first time the pumps have failed.
We had two backup pumps at that time for the occasion that our main pump should fail. 4 years ago, this same thing happened. Pumps, so, you know, it's a man-made. Anything man-made will fail.
A $3,000 grant is being given to the city to fix problems with the water plant. Those funds will be administered in three separate phases, beginning with renovations to the cosmetic part of the plant building. City workers plan to have the pumps actually fixed by tomorrow. According to a Kentucky Farm Bureau Market Basket survey, retail food prices in Kentucky declined slightly during the third quarter of 2016. The report revealed that the overall cost of 40 basic grocery items averaged $118.51. That compares to the $120.16 that was recorded during the second quarter. Todd Bright is the spokesman for the Farm Bureau. He says the reduction in cost amounted to about 1.3%.
And that was led by a large decrease in our poultry category, which includes the price of eggs. In fact, there was a 32-cent decrease in the price of an extra large dozen eggs and a 31-cent drop in large eggs. And so that had a major impact on that particular category. In addition to poultry, the next largest decline came by the way of the beef category, and that dropped nearly 3%.
Bright says the latest National Consumer Price Index showed that food prices have been on the decline for the past 7 months. The Kentucky Legislature's Health and Welfare Committee is considering ways to improve the financial workings of the Commonwealth's nursing homes. The group met with top officials in the state's nursing home industry to discuss changes needed to the financial workings for nursing homes. Kentucky Association of Healthcare Facilities President Betsy Johnson told the panel adjustments made for inflations for Medicaid reimbursements have been inefficient.
It's making it very, very difficult for our members, our providers, to compete for the workforce that they need because we're competing against the hospitals. And the fact that we've been kept flat is really impacting our ability to attract and keep workforce.
The association is suggesting an increase in the tax on long-term care providers that could be used to provide funding for improved inflation rate adjustments. There's a new medical director for Bellefonte Physician Services in Greenup County. Our Lady of Bellefonte Hospital is announcing the appointment of Dr. Melinda Elkins-Smith. Elkins-Smith received her medical degree from the UK College of Medicine and conducted her residency at Marshall University's Family Medicine Program in Huntington. OLBH spokesman Kevin Compton says Bellefonte Physician Services operates several primary care centers and specialty clinics throughout the tri-state, and Elkins-Smith will be in charge of all of them. Emergency services personnel in northeastern Kentucky will have more opportunities to train locally early next year. That's the word from Ashland Boyd County Emergency Management Director Tim England. He says his office will be offering additional training sessions in the spring, mainly for search and rescue operations.
The biggest resource that we want to put out there is especially on the search and rescue side. There is a three-day basic search and rescue class, and there are some other search and rescue classes that build off that that we want to host here, because when we have a large-scale search, I have a four-person paid staff, so I have to bring in my volunteer staff, which is just over 30 volunteers. So in order to keep them up to speed and trained well, then I want to bring that training here.
England says it's often difficult for local EMS providers to leave the area for 3 or 4 days to stay current with their training. One Morehead State official remains confident the university's sagging enrollment figure will eventually rebound. Tim Rhodes is MSU's Assistant Vice President for Enrollment Services. He believes the school's new marketing strategies and decision to widen its student recruiting net to new regions of the country will make a difference.
A lot of it depends on the economy and those kind of external issues that we face. You know, schools that have larger scholarships, schools that are very, very aggressive, even in our service region. But I feel very confident that we're putting things in place now that in the next year or two we'll begin to see things turn and start on the increase.
Morehead State's enrollment has dropped in each of the last 3 years. That number currently stands at 10,439, a drop of 4% from the fall of last year. Rhodes says MSU has been hurt by a major decline in the population inside its 22-county service region, which means there have been less high school graduates available to recruit. The Morehead Post of the Kentucky State Police says troopers were not called out for any fatal traffic accidents in their 11-county service region this October. There were 2 fatalities the previous month. 26 people have died in traffic accidents in the area so far this year. According to the KSP's monthly activity report, the local post responded to 32 traffic collisions last month, compared to 35 in September. There were 27 arrests for driving while intoxicated in October, while 20 motorists were cited for the same offense during the prior 30-day period. Morehead troopers made 159 criminal arrests last month. There were 224 in September. The chairman of the Senate Transportation Committee doesn't see any major obstacles to passing legislation that would allow some federal inmates from being granted Kentucky driver's licenses while they're on work details outside their prisons. Republican Ernie Harris is from Prospect. He says the idea is in keeping with criminal justice reforms aimed at helping prisoners better adjust to reentering society once they've completed their sentences.
Anything we can do to encourage people, allow them to move back and become full citizens, I think is the right way to go. Once we iron out all the issues and everything else, that hopefully we can get something passed this time. If not, at least we can get the discussion going.
Lawmakers this week heard a proposal from an official with the federal prison in Ashland that would permit some inmates without convictions for violent or sexual offenses to obtain licenses to drive state vehicles. They could only do so while on a work assignment outside the prison, and they would have to return the permit to their supervisor when the job was completed. Finally, despite a federal investigation of the Boyd County Detention Center, officials there appear unconcerned, MSPR's Chaz Jenkins reports.
According to the Ashland Daily Independent, Boyd jailer Joe Burchett says while his facility will cooperate fully with the U.S. Department of Justice probe, he believes it will be exonerated of any wrongdoing. Investigators are trying to determine if any of the detention center's inmates' constitutional rights have been violated. Investigators want to determine if prisoners are sufficiently protected from excessive use of force, are being subjected to an invasion of their bodily privacy, and if the jail has used restrictive housing without due process. Joe Burchett told reporters Wednesday that he's confident the investigation will not amount to anything. For Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
Turning now to a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening region. Tonight, mostly cloudy skies and a 30% chance of scattered showers this evening, lows in the mid-40s. Tomorrow, it'll be sunny with patchy valley fog early, highs around 60 degrees. Tomorrow night, clear with patchy frost late. We'll see lows right around freezing in the valleys and around 40 on the ridges. On Saturday, at the beginning of this weekend, it'll be sunny with highs around 62. Saturday night, mostly clear, lows around 40. And on Sunday, sunny with highs in the upper 60s. The time is 4:46, and you are tuned in to Mountain Edition. This is Morehead State Public Radio, 90.3 FM. On our feature segment, AARP Kentucky is urging the General Assembly to create a work and save plan. That's a framework to make it simpler for small businesses to offer their employees a way to save for retirement. The Kentucky News Connection's Greg Stottlemyre has more.
Kentucky's leading seniors organization says 50% of employees in the state's private sector do not have access to a workplace retirement plan. That's 787,000 Kentuckians, according to AARP, which is calling on the state legislature to create a work and save plan. AARP Scott Wagonis says creating a framework for workplace retirement would make it simpler for more Kentuckians to save through automatic payroll deposits.
We want to find a way for small businesses and their employees that's voluntary and it's portable. If workers change jobs, their accounts will go with them. Everybody knows Social Security alone is not enough to retire on.
According to the Pew Charitable Trust, since early 2012, more than half of the states, including Kentucky, have introduced legislation to set up or study options for state-sponsored retirement savings programs. Five states have enacted programs that put a framework in place. According to AARP, nearly two-thirds of small businesses in Kentucky want to offer retirement savings plans to their employees but can't afford to do so. Laura Dake is among them. She oversees a nonprofit in Lexington with 15 employees and believes small businesses such as hers would welcome a low-hassle savings plan.
It's something that is simple to administer, low cost or no cost, and something that they could present to employees as a positive.
Wagonis says the work and save plan has to avoid creating red tape for businesses while shielding employers and the state from liability.
There are some fundamental keys here. The program needs to be voluntary. It has to have low fees. It has to create no burden for small businesses.
The Pew report noted the challenges states face is generating and protecting workers' savings over the long run, because while low-risk investments make losses less likely, they increase the chances that accounts won't grow enough to meet retirees' needs. According to AARP, the average retirement account in Kentucky is around $32,000, and Wagonis believes Work and Save could help change that. I'm Greg Stottlemyre reporting for Kentucky News Connection.
The time is 4:49. You're still listening to Mountain Edition here on Morehead State Public Radio. Braxton Howard has been keeping an eye on your sports news. He's up after this quick timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from the Kentucky Folk Art Center, presenting The Devil Made Us Do It, depictions of Satan in Kentucky folk art. On display through December 3rd, the exhibition examines how the character of the devil has been portrayed by generations of self-taught artists from Kentucky. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., the Kentucky Folk Arts Center is a cultural, educational, and economic development service of Morehead State University.
Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Chicago Cubs' 108-year wait for a World Series is now over. The Cubs defeated Cleveland last night 8-7 in Game 7 of the World Series in 10 innings. Former Lexington legend star Ben Zobrist knocked in the go-ahead run for the Cubs in the 10th inning and won the World Series MVP award. He calls the game historic.
For all the marbles, it was up and down. My stomach was in knots all game long. I think every fan's was. It wasn't easy. It wasn't supposed to be easy, and they didn't make it easy on us. And this is an epic game. It's epic, and I can't believe we were able to do it for the Chicago Cub fans everywhere. 108 years in the making. We did it. You know, we couldn't be happier than we are right now.
The Cubs will have a parade celebrating the World Series championship tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. The Morehead State women's basketball team is at Johnson Arena at 7 this evening for an exhibition game against Transylvania. Coach Greg Todd wants to see his Eagles continue the progress they've made during preseason practices. He thinks one thing that will help them improve on last year's 10-20 record is the depth they've added to this season's roster.
No question. We were thin last year. We had a base of players that could do some nice things, and we tried to make it fun for our team, but it was we didn't have a true point guard. We feel like we were definitely a lot more equipped at the point guard position this year.
Miranda Crockett returns to man the point for MSU this season. She will be backed by returnee Brianna McQueen, transfer Darianne Seward, and freshman Brianna Jackson. The Louisville basketball team gets its first game action tonight. Coach Rick Pitino's Cardinals will be at the Yum Center at 7 o'clock for an exhibition contest against Kentucky Wesleyan.
I think our guys and I were going very excited to play somebody different than themselves. Kentucky Wesleyan last year gave us a really good exhibition game, and certainly they have a lot of starters back, some offensive firepower, and our guys are really looking forward to the game.
Louisville is ranked 13th in the AP's preseason poll. Controlling the clock and scoring points will be the Round County football team's keys tomorrow night when the Vikings open Class 4A playoff action at Bourbon County, so says Coach Gene Peterson. Peterson notes the 5-5 Colonels will challenge Round with their 4-2 defensive front.
That even front is, something we've seen this year a few times. But, it doesn't really make any difference. You know, they've got a good linebacker in the Williams kid over there. And, they're pretty sound defensively.
Round starts postseason play with a 2-8 record. Several other high school football teams will get their postseason started Friday night. Class 4A's top-ranked team, Paintsville, host Paris. Even though his Tigers are unbeaten, Coach Joe Chirico says they need to improve on some things in the playoffs.
We've got to be better tacklers. We've got to be better run blockers, pass blockers, all the little things that everybody says every week. We got to be a little better on special teams. I think we got to pick our special teams up a little bit for us to win a couple of games or, have a chance in the playoffs.
Also in Class A, Fairview visits Bracken and Raceland host Bishop. In 3A action, Bath visits top-ranked Belfry, Lawrence visits Fleming, and West Carter travels to Pike Central. In 4A, it's Mason at Ashland Blazer, Greenup at Harrison, number 1 Johnson Central playing Scott, and Montgomery visiting North Bullitt. Morehead State football coach Rob Tenier says the Eagles will need to be much better on defense if the Eagles are to win Saturday at Butler. MSU has allowed 156 points during its three-game losing streak, and Tenier expects Butler to try to hammer his defenders with its ground game.
They were really committed to the run the last couple weeks. They've settled in on their senior quarterback, especially this past week versus Valparaiso, and then their running back had 29 carries. So they're pretty committed to running the football, and we know we're going to have to stop that to be successful, and we feel like we got a good game plan.
MSU will be out to improve on its 2-6 mark against a Butler team it beat last year at Jane Stadium 34-21. The Bulldogs are 4-5 on the year. The Kentucky football team is getting set to host Georgia on Saturday in Commonwealth Stadium. Winners of 5 of their last 6 games, including 3 straight SEC wins, Kentucky will be looking to become bowl eligible for the first time since 2010. Georgia head coach Kirby Smart has high praise for Kentucky's ground game and offensive coordinator Eddie Grant.
That guy Snell is really good player. Talking to the teams who've played him, talk about how physical he is, how good a downhill runner he is, and they've got the change up, with Boone, with JoJo. So they've really got good backs, and they do a good job at using them, and they do a really nice job of that. So they create a lot of issues. We'll try to address some of those issues today, but I got a lot of respect for Eddie and what he's done offensively with them.
Kentucky is 5-3 on the year, while Georgia is 4-4. And finally in sports, the NFL Thursday night game sees the Buccaneers hosting the Falcons. AP correspondent Tom Atkins reports.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have won three straight games against their NFC South rival Atlanta Falcons, but Thursday night's contest could be an uphill battle. The 3-4 Buccaneers' top three running backs are injured, so quarterback Jameis Winston will try to revive an ineffective offense through the air. The division-leading Falcons come in 5-3 and have the league's best offense behind the passing of Matt Ryan and the running of Devonta Freeman. Both teams' defenses have been porous, so this one could be a high-scoring affair. Tom Akins, Tampa.
That's it for sports for Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Exhibition games open the Eagle basketball season, featuring a women's game with Transylvania tonight at 7 p.m. Men's basketball welcomes Cincinnati Christian at 2 p.m. Sunday. Tickets and information available from the Moorhead State Athletic Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed lower with information technology leading decliners as concerns over the presidential election lingered, and the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 28.97 at 17,930.67. The S&P 500 was down 9.28 at 2,088.66, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 47.16 at 5,058.41. New York Stock Exchange breadth was over 3-2 in favor of losing stocks over winners. In economic news, the preliminary read on third quarter productivity showed an increase of 3.1%, which was well above expectations. Other data released included the ISM non-manufacturing index for October, which came in below expectations. Factory orders, meanwhile, rose for a third straight month. Investors were also waiting on the October jobs report, which is scheduled for release tomorrow morning at 8:30. Economists polled by Reuters expect the U.S. economy to have added 175,000 jobs last month. And on the earnings front, Chesapeake was among the firms reporting results before the bell. Social media giant Facebook posted better-than-expected results Wednesday after the close. That said, the stock fell almost 6% in today's trading, as the firm indicated its ad load could come down meaningfully next year. U.S. crude oil futures for December delivery fell 1.5%, selling at $44.66 a barrel. Gold futures for December delivery fell $4.90, selling at $1,303.30 an ounce. Among Dow industrial stocks, your best performers were Disney and 3M. Your worst performers were Pfizer and Intel. In the S&P 500, your best performers were Marathon Oil and FMC Corporation, and the worst performers were Indo International and First Solar. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up $1.13 at $112.19, CSX up 39 cents at $31.13, AEP up 32 cents at $62.93, AK Steel up 34 cents at $5.45, Marathon Petroleum up 18 cents at $41.18, and Anthem was down $2.93, finishing at $120.06. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Turning once again to look at the weather forecast, tonight mostly cloudy, a 30% chance of scattered showers. We'll see lows around 45 degrees. Tomorrow, sunny skies and patchy valley fog early with highs around 60. Tomorrow night, clear, patchy frost late. We'll see lows averaging out in the mid-30s. And on Saturday, it'll be sunny, highs around 62 degrees. It is currently sitting at 68 degrees in Ashland right now. It's 65 in Flemingsburg, 72 in Inez, 66 in Lexington, as well as in Winchester, and 68 degrees here in Moorhead. That'll do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from MSPR staff members Chuck Mraz, Dan Conti, Braxton Howard, Courtney Howell, Jacob Lindberg, Chaz Jenkins, and Brian Courtney. from the Kentucky News Connection with our feature, Greg Stottlemyre. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For all of the MSPR News team, I'm Arlo Barnett, Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.